Today, we continue with lesson number 54 in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Kelim, continuing into the 14th perek with the 4th and 5th Mishnah. So it's perek Yud Dalet, Mishnah Dalet and He. Mishnah, these two Mishnayos in Dalet and He assume a familiarity with the various components of a wagon to which an ox or another animal, a beast of burden, was placed. Now, we're not familiar with this in our lifestyle, but of course the people at the time of the Mishnah were very familiar with all of these components. It is here where one really needs a diagram, and again, I suggest the diagrams in the booklet of Rabbi Posen, which can also be found in the edition of the Mishnayos called Siyata Dishmaya, which has the same diagrams, the diagrams prepared by Rabbi Posen. So he gives a detailed sketch of the various components of the wheels and axles and various equipment which attaches the animal to the wagon, which holds the burden in the wagon in place, and which constitutes, serves as a yoke or a kind of a steering mechanism to direct the oxen or whatever animal is used. So I'll try my best to describe each and every piece, but again, a picture would be worth 1,000 words. Mishnah Dalet. Hatmeim shebo agola. The following components of the wagon are mekabel tumo. Ha'ol shel mateches, a yoke made of metal, which is put upon the neck of the animal. V'hakatrev. Katrev is a stake which connects the wagon's pole to the poles which are at the ends, at the extremes of the yoke. V'haknofayim hamekablos es haretzuos, and the wings, meaning the poles which extend left and right from the top of the yoke, looking like wings, and in them are little holes through which leather straps, belts, are inserted in order to pull the animal this way or that. V'habarzel shetachas tzavrei vehemo. And similarly, the metal which is placed underneath the animal's throat, which protects the animal's throat. Hasomer. And also the ring which suspends the pole of the wagon. V'hamachger. Machger is a metal chain around the throat of the animal which attaches itself to the yoke. V'hatamchuyos. The tamchuyos are small saucers. They look like small saucers, S-A-U-C-E-R-S, small dishes at either end of the yoke. Ho'inbel. The bell, meaning the part of the bell that goes ding-dong, vahatzinoro, and the hook, which is placed on the side of the wagon to hold the cargo of the wagon in place, not that it shouldn't fall, umasmer hamachaber es kulon, and nails, which serve the function of attaching these various things to each other. So everything here serves a definite function. It's not there for decoration or because it looks good. It's there because you need it in order to attach the animals to the wagon in a way that would be productive and allow them to pull the wagon whichever way you want it to go. And of course, those nails, which are functional, and they're actually holding together the various components of the wagon, all of the above are mekabel tuma. That is Mishnah Dalet. They're all made of metal. They're all mekabel tuma. Now we move on to Mishnah Hey. Hatahorin sheba agola. There are other components of the wagon which are not mekabel tuma. First of all, ha'ol ha'mitzupeh. If you have a yoke made of wood, rather than a metal yoke, which of course we saw earlier is mekabel tumah, the first item in Mishnah Dalet, ha'ol shel mateches. In Mishnah Hey, we're speaking about an ol made of wood, which is merely coated or lined with metal. So that coating, that tzipui of metal, is serving the wood. The yoke is made of wood. The metal is secondary to the yoke. So it is mateches hamishameshes esoetz. It's metal serving wood, and therefore it is not mekabel tumah. Or kinofayim ho'asuyos lenoi. If you have wings that serve, well, look like wings, protrusions along the entire contraption, which are merely there because it looks good, looks beautiful. Oh, look, he has a flying wagon. Ushvoferes hamashmios es hakol. And tubes, little hollow tubes that are there simply to make noise. As the animal moves, I imagine they make a noise as if they were musical instruments with the wind or the air going through the hollow of these shifoforos. So all these things have no function. They're either there for nice sound or for the nice decoration that they serve to be, and therefore they're not mekabel tumah. V'ho avor. Avor is lead. Shebitzad savrei behema. It seemed they had small bits of lead which were simply attached to the animal's neck for decorative purposes, and therefore it is not mekabel tumah, although it is metal. Avor is a metal. Lead is a metal. Hasovev shel galgal. If you have a wheel made of wood, and to protect the wood from becoming eroded, you line the outside of the wheel with metal. So that's metal also is only serving the wood. It's not mekabel tumah. It's mateches hamishameshes esoetz. Hatasim, thin trays, v'hatzipuyim, and any part of the wagon which is coated with metal, all of these things serve no purpose, no function, at least not the function of pulling a heavy wagon by a team of oxen. Usha'or kol hamasmros, all the other nails in the contraption that are not there for the purposes of being, as it says in the last words of Mishnah Dalet, mechaber es kulam. They're not there to do what nails are supposed to do, to fasten one thing to the other, to hold it all together. But rather they're there for some decorative purpose. In all these cases, tohorin, they are not mekabel tumah. Now, the Mishnah speaks of something which we're b'chlal not familiar with, and that is some type of shoe which the animal wore. Sandalei vehemo, the animal's sandals, which are made so, the Mefarshim say, so that the animal not slip and slide, so they kind of give the animal a way to grip to the ground. Tumeyim, sandalei behemo shel matros, if they are made of metal, tumeyim, they are mekabel tumah. Why? The Mefarshim say, because the soldiers who accompany these animals would often detach these metal shoes from the animal's leg and use it as a cup to drink from when they were in the heat of battle and had no other cups to drink from. However, shel sha'am, if these animal sandals were not of metal, but rather of sha'am, which is something like rubber, the resin, R-E-S-I-N, of a certain tree. So that obviously is considered wood, not metal. And therefore, they're not tahorin, they're not mekabel tumah, because they're not usually used as cups. They're not detached from the animal as the metal shoes were. Even in the battlefield where there are no other vessels, you wouldn't want this vessel made of sha'am. Perhaps it was dirty, or perhaps it wasn't couldn't hold liquid without leaking. And therefore, since it has no function, it is not mekabel tumah. Hasayef, what about a sword? Me'emosai mekabel tumah. At what point is a sword considered finished product and therefore is mekabel tumah. Sword, of course, is made of metal. So the Mishnah says, Mishe yishufenu, when you rub it, as opposed to grind it on a grinding stone, you merely rub it. You didn't grind it. It didn't go through what's called hashchaza, meaning it wasn't ground on a grinding stone, but rather, because the sword doesn't need to be so sharp. The way you use it, you swing it this way and that, and if it's merely rubbed along its surface, that's sufficient. V'hasakin, how about a knife? At what point is a knife mekabel tumah? Only mishe yashrizena, only if it is ground on a grinding stone and really, really sharpened. Others say that this last section of Mishnah Hay, which speaks of a saya for sword or a sakin, a knife, is not speaking about at what point is it considered to be a finished product, but rather it's talking about a sword or a knife which are very rusty. We learned earlier that if they are very rusty, they're not mekabel tumah. So our Mishnah comes to tell you that if the sword is merely rubbed and the rust is rubbed off of its surface, even though it's not ground in a grinding stone to really remove it totally, nevertheless it is already mekabel tumah, as opposed to a knife. A rusty knife is not mekabel tumah until you grind it down so that it has no rust upon it whatsoever. And so we have finished the fourth and fifth Mishnayos of Perek Yud Daled, and in the process have completed lesson number 54.